As far as Reb Chaim is concerned, please join us if you like. We had a discussion about Rav Zevin's presentation of Reb Chaim. And in Rav Zevin's frame of reference, when we analyze the Shita of Reb Chaim, we should realize that Reb Chaim's language has to, by definition, come from the Shas. There's no such thing as using language outside the Shas. But Rav Zevin points out that sometimes Rav Chaim uses the language of Shas in his own unique way. So it's really interesting. Rav Chaim might be referring to a philosophical concept, but he won't use the philosophical language. He'll use the Gemara's language, but in a philosophical context. And the example that Rav Zevin gives is from the Chidushei Agrach stencil on Masechta Gittin. Here, in my edition, it's on page Kuflamehe. I think we have a photocopy of it. And it's a paragraph here that appears in the stencil. Again, it's not published in Reb Chaim al Rambam, so we only have it from the stencil, which always gives you a sense of wondering why it's in the stencil and not in Reb Chaim. But be that as it may, whatever it means, Rav Zevin points out that there's something called a chefta. Now the word chefta appears all over the place in Shas, but Reb Chaim wants to use it in a very unique way. The word chefetz in Shas means a physical object. It's concrete, it's tangible. Reb Chaim uses it in a whole different way. And I think that the word chefetz, from Reb Chaim's perspective, is used in contrast to gavra. That doesn't surprise us, does it? A chefetz is the opposite of a gavra. But if you would ask the question as to, for example, the mitzvah Piri Verivya, where do you find the Cheftz and a Gavra in Piri Verivya? A Gavra you could find. That's the Gavra who's obligated in the mitzvah of procreation. But where do you find the Cheftz?
That's the Gavra, sir.
And that's what Reb Chaim wants to say. There's such a thing called a Cheftz. Now, in the language of Rav Zevin, before we see the piece inside, he says
the Gemara refers to Isha many times as Kli.
As a Kli. Okay, good. Very good. So maybe Rav Chaim's Chefta is a Kli. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. So there's the Ptur of Mitzvah Seishas Man Grom. And Rav Chaim wants to know, in a case of somebody who is exempt from the Mitzvah Sei of Piri Verivya, is the Ptur in the Gavra or in the Cheftza? Again, that sounds very strange, because obviously, if you're telling me that so-and-so is exempt from the mitzvah of procreation of Piri Verivya, it's because of the Gavra. Oh, he says the following. The case is Eved. And the question is, why is an Eved exempt from the mitzvah of Piri Verivya? And the answer is one of two approaches. Reb Chaim actually throws in the third approach, but we'll focus on the first two. One is to call it a Ptur Gavra. What that means is that we have an equation, a Gzer Shav, between Eved and Isha. Just like an Isha is exempt from Piri Verivya, so too an Eved is exempt. That's what Reb Chaim calls a Ptur Gavra. But Reb Chaim points out that although there is such a Gzer Shav, a la to equate Eved with Isha, we never find anywhere in Shas that the Gemara actually applied that Gzeirah Shav of La La to the case of Mitzvah Piri Verivya. We know that La La tells us that an Eved is exempt from Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma, but we don't know anything beyond that. So Reb Chaim suggests another possibility. Maybe Eino Chinami, this Gzeirah Shav of La La is only relevant to cases where a woman should have been obligated, and the Torah said she's not obligated. For example, there's no reason ostensibly for a woman not to be obligated in the mitzvah of shofar, in the mitzvah of lulav, or any time-bound mitzvah. The Torah added a ptur, And that p'tur, by virtue of the gzeir shavah lala, is transmuted, if you will, over to an eved. But then there are other cases that a woman is exempt because she's a woman. For example, a woman is not included in baltakif, in cutting the, you know, shaving certain parts of the head. And that's a special tour. We don't know if an Eved would be exempt from those lavim by virtue of the equation to Isha. No, maybe that's a din in the Isha. That has nothing to do with law. Law is excluding mitzvahs which could be applicable to a woman, but the Torah exempted the woman. Then you apply that to an Eved through law. And the question is it possible that the p'tur of Piri Verivi in the case of an Isha has nothing to do with Lala? It's a special din. The Gemara says that we equate a woman's exemption from army duty, from the mitzvah of Melchava, to her equation, to her exemption from Piri Verivi. Ma darko shel ish lichbosh v'yein darko shel ish al lichbosh. Maybe that is not to be transferred over to a man, in this case an Eved, by virtual Lola, because an Eved is Darko Lichbosh. We don't know. So why is it, says Reb Chaim, that in all of Shas, the premise is that an Eved is exempt from Piri Verivia? After all, if it's not within the purview of the equation to Nashim of Lola, then what's the source, what's the basis for exempting an Eved from Piri Verivia? So he wants to suggest, Reb Chaim, that it's not a din in the gavra of the Eved, but it's a din in the cheftza of the Eved. What does that mean, it's a din in the cheftza of the Eved? So I think what Reb Chaim means by cheftza is that there's something in the makeup of an Eved, in his very nature, so to speak, that makes it impossible for him to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivia. And what is that? There's a principle in Shas that Eved ein lo yichus, that the child of an Eved is not miyuchas to the Eved. In that sense, the Eved is almost like a guy. You know, the status of an Eved, an Eved Kanani I'm talking about, is very ambiguous. It's the twilight zone. On the one hand, he has a miktas gerus, and he's chayav in many mitzvahs like an isha, but on the other hand, he still needs another process of gerus. So the Eved is in a funny situation halachically. We don't know where he belongs. As far as yuchsin is concerned, he doesn't have yuchsin. And just like, let's say, for example, if a Jewish woman is married to a non-Jewish man, she has no claim for yichus because the father is not Jewish. So too, if a Jewish woman would be married to an Eved, there would be no yichus in that case as well, because an Eved is like a guy as far as yuchsin is concerned.
It basically means that just like somebody who's sterile can't have kids, he can't have kids.
Correct. In the halachic reality, he is like a sterile person in the physical reality.
So that's why it's called a cheftza.
Correct. Cheftza means the physical reality of the Eved. It's almost like, you remember we discussed the other day, psulei mishpacha in kahuna. Correct? That if the father is a cholol, then the child is a cholol. He doesn't have the yuchsin of a kohen. In that case, the kedushas kahuna is just lacking. It's absent as a reality. Just in reality, he doesn't belong to the mishpachas kedushas kahuna. And that means that in the cheftz of the kohen, he doesn't have kedushas kahuna. Here too, in the cheftz of the eved, he doesn't have the mitzvah of piri verivia. What does Reb Chaim want to do with these two approaches? Again, to summarize, number one, the Eved is parted from Piri Verivia because of the Hekesh of Eved to Isha, and he calls that a Ptur Gavra. Or is the Eved excluded from Piri Verivia simply because he doesn't have Yichus, and it's sort of the Cheft of the Eved that's excluded from Piri Verivia? So if you take a look in Reb Chaim, he quotes a Turei Eved, which is, of course, the Shagas Aryeh. You have that? It's on page Kuf Lamin Hei.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you have it, that's good. We really have to organize the archives here.
I'm getting rid of some archives now because I'm like...
Yeah, okay, it's a shame because sometimes I need those archives.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll put them under another tablecloth.
Oh, another tablecloth. Okay, we'll find a different tablecloth.
Oh, there's that drawer.
Okay. Now, I think I also photocopied for you Rav Zevin on pages 56 to 57, if you find that. from Ishim Vishitot.
Rabbi, didn't we also learn that Eved has a din of karka also?
Oh, so I think in Reb Chaim's language we would say the following.
There's
the gavra of the Eved and the cheftz of the Eved. The gavra of the Eved is not karka. No. He's a gavra, he's chayv mitzvahs.
Yeah, but
in the cheftz of the Eved, he's considered karka.
Right.
If you follow him.
So that's one thing that is chayv mitzvah.
Okay. So now Reb Chaim wants to suggest the following. What happens if we could find a situation where the child of the Eved would be miyuchas acharov, if we could solve or circumvent the problem that the Eved has no yuchsin? Would the Eved then, in such a case that he could have a child that would be miyuchas acharov, would he have the mitzvah, the obligation of piri v'rivia? If you're telling me it's a patur gavra, then he's potter. He was never included in the mitzvah piri v'rivia. But if you're saying that it's a blockage because he cannot have a child that's miyuchas acharov, if lo yitzur, we can find the case where the child is miyuchas acharov, then ein chinami. Chozev and Nia, we go back to point one, and that is that the Eved is chayav of the mitzvah piri v'rivia because he could have a child that's related to him. And in the language of Rav Zeved, he writes, im hi motze yi motze, ofen, shemitzad ha-metzius, tuchal ha-mitzvah is chayav etzlo, meaning that the Eved could have yichus, gam ha-Eved yachayav bo. Okay. So now with this understanding of Rav Chaim, he Rav Chaim wants to defend a kash of Tosfos. Now that's very interesting, to defend a kash of Tosfos. The one who attacks Tosfos is the Turi Eben, and the Turi Eben doesn't understand Tosfos' kash. What's the sugya in Gittin? Of course, the famous sugya of what? Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, which means again that you have an Eved that was owned by two partners. One partner went ahead and he freed the Eved, the other partner did not. So the half of the Eved that was freed is a Ben Chorin. The other half of the Eved is called an Eved because the owner of that half of the Eved never relinquished his ownership. And the question is, the Gemara says, Kofenes Rabo L'shachara, we can force the owner, that other partner that refused to relinquish ownership, we can force him to give the Eved a get shikra. Why? In order to facilitate the mitzvah of piri v'rivia. In other words, the chatzi Eved Shebo cannot marry a Jewish girl because that would be an isa lav of kedesha. The chatzi ben chorin shelo can't marry a non-Jewish girl because he has the chatzi ben chorin shebo. So basically, the Eved who's a chatzi Eved chatzi ben chorin is in a no-win situation where he cannot get married at all. And therefore, the mitzvah piri v'rivia becomes an impossibility. In order to allow the Eved to fulfill his mitzvah piri v'rivia, we force the Adon to be meshachar the Eved. So Tosfos says, I don't understand the Gemara's premise here. We have a principle in Kol HaTorah Kula of Esei Docha Losaseh. So why not suggest the following, says Tosfos, that the Esei of piri v'rivia, because again, he's a chatzi Ben Chorin, would be Doche, the Losase of Lo Yiyah Kodesh. Are you with me so far, Abosai?
Yeah.
I don't have a unanimous response here. It's a little
shvach today. It's a question, though.
Well, let's try to understand the question before we classify it as strange. I think it's a brilliant question. Tosa says that we have a principle called Esei Doche Losase. We don't need the Baal HaEved, the Chatzi Eved, to be Meshachar is his half of the Eved. We have Mitzad the Chatzi Ben Chorin, a mitzvah of Piri V'rivia. That's clear. Narvas, the Chatzi Ben Chorin cannot be Mekayim that mitzvah because of the Losase of Kedesha. Well, when we have an essay of the Losase, the principle is that essay Docha Losase. So why do you force the hand of the Adon to be Meshachar the Eved? Why not just apply the principle of essay Docha Losase?
What happens passively?
If he marries a woman, that's not passive.
No, but we don't require action upon the Adon.
Oh, right. Why not allow the Adon to retain his ownership on the Chatzi Eved, you're going to tell me his ownership blocks the Eved from fulfilling the mitzvah period of Rivia? The answer is no. The Eved cannot fulfill period of Rivia because the Isur Lo Yeh Kadesh, that Isur will be overridden by the mitzvah Saseh that will be Mekayim when he marries a woman as children of period of Rivia. So let the essay be done for the Lo Saseh.
No, that's all very well if we say that the Chatzi Chatzi is Mizugis. If you say they're two separate parts, it doesn't work.
Very good. Very
that's
good.
Where I was asking the question about
so that's what I think. Yeah. Turiyevin is gonna. Well, you know what? Let's go through. I forget who says what here. There's a Turiyevin. There's a Minchas Chinuch. Then there's Reb Chaim. So let's just go over it inside. What is the Turiyevin's point here? He says that we have an equation here, an analogy to another sugya. What's the sugya? It's chatos kshera shebola chatos psula. So you have two pieces of meat. One is kshera, it's a chatos kshera. The other is a chatos psula. Let's say it was pigul or whatever it might be. And now the chatos kshera absorbed some of the taste of the chatos psula. In such a case, we have a principle of esse docha losase, which means the esse of achilas kodshim, insofar as this is kodesh and it's kosher, is docha the losase of achilas kodshim psulim. Here too, the esse of chatzi ben chorin should be docha the losase of chatzi o'evet. And on that question, on that point, I should say, the Minchas Chinuch raises the following objection. He says, what kind of comparison is there? In the case of a chatos, even though the essay of Achilas Kodshim is on one part of this meat, right, the part that didn't absorb the taste of the chatos psula, then the losaseh is on something else, on another part. And therefore, since we have both an essay and a lav, an essay on half and a los on the other half, there you can wonder whether or not essay is docha losase. However, in this case, ha essay hu al ha chatzi ben chorin shebo, and there's a losase on the chatzi eved shebo. Kan hare ha essay hu al ha chatzi ben chorin al losase. Ala gavra shel chatzi ha'evet is ech yitcha esay shel ben chorin es alav shel ha'evet. In other words, the Turi Evan wants to defend Tosus's kasha by comparing it, the case of chatzi ha'evet chatzi ben chorin, to the case of chatos ksheira shebola michatos psula, and there we apply the principle of esay dochalosis. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the equation is not appropriate, it's not accurate, because if you have two gavras, one gavra has the essay and the other gavra has the losaseh, how could the essay of one gavra be docha the losaseh of the other gavra? In the case of the chatos, we have one essay and one losaseh with regard to this chaticha, and if we can apply the essay that allows me or obligates me to eat this chatos, this basar, then we can be docha the losaseh that prohibits me from eating the basar. That's muvan meilav. But here, the Minchas Chinuch says, what's Tosus talking about? You have an essay on one person, that's the Ben Chorin Shebo, and you have a losase on the Eved Shebo. How could the essay be docha the losas?
And he doesn't want to take the Balabatish approach, which is that in order to do the essay, I have to be over a losase. You can't do that.
Right, because he's assuming
the object has to have.
He's assuming that the losase is on a different person. And
that's fictitious, right?
Not really. I mean, the according to the Minchas Chinuch, which makes a lot of sense, the Minchas Chinuch understands that a chatzi ev and chatzi ben chorin is trey gavri. In other words, in halachic terms, he has two distinct identities, two personalities.
Yeah,
you know, he has certain dinim that govern him as a ben chorin. He has other sets of dinim that govern his life as a. As an event.
Okay, let me just talk about a non-personality. If you assume, okay, there is a certain philosophical assumption that when you have a belia, away from kosher, that what you really have here is a mixture that you just can't sort out. Okay? There are people who talk like that. So okay. There's not a gavra issue. Would you still say that? That I, the chiyuv is to eat one part of the mixture, but I can't eat that mixture without eating a mixture which is also osir. Or would you not say that?
No, so I'm saying, what does this chefta obligate me in as a person? On the one hand, it obligates me in an essay insofar as there's a chatas ksher. On the other hand, it obligates me in a los essay insofar as it's a chatas psula.
But now, considering it one entity.
Well,
you're not considering it two people,
might be right, Sam, but I don't know if that's relevant to that discussion today. What's relevant to that discussion today is that I, as an individual, have to decide what my relationship is
to this. You follow? So
that's right. What the Midrash Kiddush wants to add over here, that the equation of the Turi Eben is off base. You want to take a case of a chatos, and you want to ask me, well, am I chayev or enjoined from eating the chatos? The answer is, esei dochalos aseh. My essay vis-a-vis this piece of meat is going to override my los aseh vis-a-vis the same piece of meat. But again, you might ask other questions, whether it's one meat and so on, and the mizugit and everything. But in the case of Piri Verivya and the Isolav of Kedesha, the Piri Verivya is incumbent upon the Eved as a Ben Chorin. The los aseh, on the other hand, is incumbent upon the Eved as an Eved. It doesn't make sense to cross, what do they call it? A mixed breed. I'm looking for a certain. You can't cross breed these things because his essay is not his los essay. So how can I be docha the los essay on the Eved because I'm a ben chorin? Yeah, you're a ben chorin. You have the essay of Piri Verivya, but he's got a lav of kedesha b'toras Eved. Just for most, if I could just present Reb Chaim, because I can't answer questions until I understand what I'm saying. It's not fair to ask me a kasha before I understand what I'm saying. So if you can give me just that little bit of rope to present to Dover Shalom, in the Rav Shia, if somebody interfered with the Rav in the middle of the presentation, kasach, the Rav would make him into pulp. Now, I'm not comparing myself to the Rav, but I do have that same psychological need to be allowed, you know, a presentation, so that then you can raise all your points and I'll be able to respond intelligently. But to embarrass me by asking me a question before I it's just not fair. That's why the rules of the game for this year have to be the following. I'll tell you when I'm ready for questions, if that's okay with you. All right, so I'm not ready for questions yet. So let's just see what Reb Chaim wants to say. Okay? I'm sorry. I apologize. But that's the only way I can function here. You know, the Turi Eved Chagiga, Medama Chatzi Eved Vechatzi Ben Chorin, the Tesei Esei the Piri Verivya, Vitivche Losase de Lo Yia Kodesh, Ki Hechi Dashkathina Vechatos Shebola.
So far.
Dahainu, chatas ksheir shebol, chatas psul, debrin in teise yase v'didche losase, udvarev tzarech iun. Interesting, he doesn't even mention the minchas chinuch. Rav Zevin mentions the minchas chinuch. Ha-hosam nehida ese hi ala chaticha hazos, meaning the ksheir, va-lotas al chaticha cheres, mikomukom shneem, b'chad gavrahim. We're not interested in the personality of the piece of meat. We're interested in the personality of the one who is either obligated or enjoined from eating this meat. Amal hachi, but here in the case of a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, harei ha'esi hi ala gavra shel chatzi ben chorin, v'alosesu ala gavra shel chatzi ha'eved. If Cain, hechi tidche esei shel ben chorin es halos esei shel akhatzi eved. Oh, now he quotes the Minchas Chinuch. Ukvar hikshen zos b'sefer Minchas Chinuch mitzvah lamed hei. So basically, what we're up to here is to try to defend Tosus's kasha. Why does Tosus think that esei dochalosa should apply to akhatzi eved chatzi ben chorin? Number two, to defend the Turi Eben's equation between chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin and achatas psula shenivla b'chatas ksheir. V'nira loma dehine hadi eved potu v'piri v'rivya yesh lomer gimel tamen. Okay, I'm interested in two out of the three. Aleph mishum d'alfin and lo lo mi'isha. Beis de'ena tam mishum yalfusa. We don't find lo lo to patter up what? To patter up an eved from piri v'rivya. Lo shayach bi essay ze, but rather he doesn't have this essay because he's not shayach to the essay. Why? Mishum dekeva di ein lo yichus Dareya ben eino misyachif achrov. Gimel, he offers a third possibility. Mishum delo nemar chiyuv de period verivya rak al ben chorin. The entire mitzvah of period verivya was only organized with regard to ben chorin. Oh, vanafkemina ben hani taimi. The e name of the potter mitam zerasakosuv de lolomi isha and came up tour who ala gavra. The ena gavra shala elve mechuyav the perivarivia. Masha enkain im nema. Daptur hu mishum trei taimi basroi im kein enaptur bahagavra rak bahachefze di enachefze shal eved mechuyav bepiri verivya amalagavra beemes shayach lahachiyuva. In other words, as far as who's obligated, an eved is obligated to piri verivya. Just that in befall, in actuality, he cannot fulfill and implement that obligation because he doesn't have the ability to get a child that's his. That's miyuchas achara. But the nafkamina is going to be that if Enochinami Lu Yitzur, the Eved, could be Makayim, a child, that would be Miuchas Akram. Enochinami would go back to the original Chobas Gavra. Vihine, we find Beisha, Pluta de Tanoihi, Emi Mechuyeves, Bepiria, Verivia. Okay, this is a sugya at the beginning of Chagiga as to whether or not a woman is obligated in Piri Verivia or she's not. Ubi Eved, Leka Plug to Klal. We never found any Sugyan Shas which questions this premise that an Eved is Potter. Right. This is a brilliant to question the premise right. That an Eved is Potter. Did I say that right?
No, you did.
Okay. So Reb Chaim is in his beautiful style. I mean, this is so typical of Reb Chaim, who teaches us how to think and learning. He says when you find a machlokus in one case and you don't find a machlokus in the other case, you are forced to draw conclusions. Chazina mizeh, what conclusion should I derive from this? If it was based on Lola Veisha, well, not everyone accepts Lola Veisha with regard to Piri Verivya. Why don't we find someone who therefore would say that since I cannot apply the Lola Meisha, because an Isha herself is obligated in Piri Verivya, then for sure the Eved should be Chai in Piri Verivya. We never encountered such a sheet anywhere in Shas. Therefore, it must be that we drop the first definition of Lola Meisha, and we assume that even if a woman is exempt from Piri Verivya, a man, an Eved in this case, would not be exempt from Piri Verivya. Oh, Nafkemina, if we take the second pshat, lefizel chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Now here's the point that we either have to accept Reb Chaim or we have to reject Reb Chaim. He says the following: im aptur ba gavra as lo shayach klal shachatzi eved ba chiyuv shel piri verivya. The chatzi eved himself, if we hold the ptur of lola meisha, he's completely exempt from the mitzvah of period of Arivia. Why? Because the Chatzi Eved has the same status as an Isha, according to that man the Omer, who says an Isha is Ptura for period of Arivia. Oh, so if we take that, then we're going to say that fundamentally the Chatzi Eved is Chayev in period of Arivia. Again, the Chatzi Eved has no way of fulfilling that mitzvah, supposedly. That's where Rav Chaim is going to come up with his understanding. Masha ain't can he name if we go with the second shot. That what the Ptur of period. So again, what I meant to say is the following. Maybe I didn't say it right. I'll just repeat it. If we say that Lola Meisha applies with regard to Piri Verivya, and the Eved is potter, and the Chatzi Eved is potter for the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, and that's absolute, unconditional. Says Reb Chaim, Asha ein keni name deha ptur hu ala cheftza deha Eved. That it means that the Eved himself, insofar as he doesn't have yichus, doesn't have the possibility of being mekayim the mitzvah piri verivya, im kein, if that be so, bechatzi eved chal chiyuv de piri verivya ala gavra de chatzi eved. Now, what does that mean? There's a gavra called a chatzi eved. We said that he's chayev in piri verivya. So now the question is, well, how can he possibly fulfill that mitzvah piri verivya? And the answer is he can fulfill the mitzvah perivira. Why? Because he also has a chefta of a ben chorin. And insofar as there's a chefta of ben chorin, again, we're not talking about the gavra now, we're talking about the chefta. The chefta of the ben chorin will have a child that's miyuchas achrov, im kein, kan, kvar ha'esei va'losa se b'chad gavra. Why? Because there's one gavra here, whether you call it the chatzi eved or call it the chatzi ben chorin, either way is chayv in the mitzvah piri v'rivya. Elo what? You're going to tell me that there are two heftas over here. It doesn't matter. If there are two heftas, that's exactly the case of the turi eved. We have one gavra and two heftas. So if you have one gavra and two heftas, then we apply the principle of esei dochalosasa, meaning that since the chatzi eved also shares the esei, nor of us, he can't fulfill that essay in actuality and implement it because of the heftz of the chatzi eved. It doesn't matter. He can fulfill that mitzvah as far as the heftz of the chatzi ben chorin is concerned. Says Rav Chaim, that creates a situation of one gavra with two heftzes. And Rav Chaim leaves it at that. He doesn't go into too much detail about this point. I have a feeling that's why Rav Chaim left it out of the sefer, because first of all, the Sefer is on the Rambam, and this is the Shtigl Torah and Tosus. That's one answer. The other answer could be that after he wrote the Sefer, he thought of this Kiddush. The third answer might be that maybe he had second thoughts about this Kiddush. I don't know. But if he had second thoughts about this Kiddush, we could always argue that the Turi Eved is saying that there's one Gavra and two Heftes. But I'm not sure if in the case of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chor, we could apply the same logic of two Heftes. Why? Because one chefta belongs to one gavra, and the other chefta belongs to another gavra. And the question is, enochinami, as far as the chefta of the ben chorin is concerned, you could have a kiyum of piri v'rivya. But that could relate to the gavra of the ben chorin. Can we say that that chefta of the ben chorin, who would have a yichus, could now set it up so that the chovas gavra that's incumbent upon the chatzi ben chorin, associated to the chatzi eved, can now be fulfilled? And Rav Chaim assumes, I think, you'll tell me if you think I'm wrong, that the chatzi eved, insofar as he has the mitzvah period for review, he can now utilize and take advantage of the fact that the other chatzi chefta is a chefta through which there is yichus, and now as a gavra he can be mekayim the mitzvah of miyuchas achrov. Again, it's very strange because b'toras gavra ben chorin, the child is not miyuchas achrov. It's only a yichus as far as the chefta of the ben chorin is concerned. So that part of the chefta, now Reb Chaim understands that the eved as a chefta is one entity. I don't know, Daniel, if you want to insist on using the terminology of mizugit, harkava mizugit. Maybe that's what Reb Chaim has in mind. He was a chavrusa the Rogachava when they were young. They were 8 years old. But in any event, Reb Chaim seems to understand that there's a relationship between that half of the Eved that is a Chefta Shel Ben Chorin to the Chatzi Gavra, who's a Chatzi Eved. Now, Alan, I'm ready for questions.
I can understand how they make the two still all together of
who's they?
Anybody who says that wants to say that you, if you're Chatzi Eved and you're a Chatzi Ben Chorin, that you have the mistress of Ben Chorin. And also the mistress of an eved, and then you have to decide which one is gover on the other one.
I don't know that anyone questions that premise, Alan. There are many premises you can question, but not that one.
But if that is true,
yeah.
Then how is the Ben Chorin part of him? He what is he? He's Kona Isha. Is he Makabi Shisha?
Yeah, for sure. Why not?
So the part of him that's not a Ben Chorin is then Boel
on Ishis. You're right. It might come under the sugya of Makadesh Shtei Achios. There's Torah about this, but that's not relevant to us today.
What I'm saying puts an impossible position. Nobody, as far as I know, would ever say that Esa Dochedo Losasa, that the Indian the essay of the Rivia trumps the love of Eshazish.
Right, I think it could be that's Tosus' answer. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance. If you have a Gemara Gittin, I think that's the answer. He says that even though Esa Dochalosa, but that's not going to help you for the Eshazish.
Right.
But again, we're all focused on Tosus' Kasha, and Tosus' Kasha is that he doesn't understand why Esa Dochalosa would not be sufficient to be matir this situation. Yeah.
I have a According to Chaim, every Eved, the Avon should be mechuyif to Mimshacharim because he's not able to be Mekayim as Esay. Why do you need him to be a Chatzi Ben Chorin? You have an Eved, the Eved has an assay of a period of Arivia, he can be Mekayimit because of practical reasons for the Yahas.
Right.
So the Adon Shemim Chut and Mishafarim.
Well, I would say the following, Sam, that there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Piri Verivya, and then there's a mitzvah of Lo Sobro L'Sheves Yisar. So I would say that the Eved could be Mekayim Sheves, and that's his obligation, and he could fulfill.
No, but according to Reb Chaim, he's in Mechuyim Piri Verivya.
No, Reb Chaim is saying that in a situation where there's no way that he can Mekayim neither Piri Verivya nor Sheves, that's the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin case, because he can't marry anybody.
Because he can't be Mekayim L'Sheves.
Right.
Not because.
Yeah, I don't think we've been. I don't think the Gemara assumes.
It's Masay.
I don't think.
Is it the same Masay with different manifestations? Is that what it is?
I don't know. That, you're asking me very profound questions which I can't answer. I don't know. But a guy does have a mitzvah, period of Rivi, in a different form. And that's called Sheves. The fact that an Eved is an Eved, and he can fulfill his mitzvah of Sheves at least.
So I see. So the problem with the Chati and Chati is that he can do neither.
Correct. He can't marry a soul.
I got you.
So he's left childless both mitzad Piri V'Rivya and mitzad Sheves. Again, I think, in my humble opinion, that the Nakuda here that has to be really, really analyzed under a microscope is Reb Chaim's assumption that we can apply Esei Docha Losasa to the Chatzi Eved Shebo by virtue of the fact that he has Yichus in the other half of his Chefta. Meaning, there are two ways of understanding Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. You could think about this in the middle of the night and just go crazy, try to figure it out. There's one way of lining it up that there are two Gavras and two Cheftas, and both Cheftas relate in a very distinct way to their respective Gavra. Meaning, if I had a chart, imagine if I would write this on a blackboard, I've got Gavra, Chefta, Gavra, Chefta. But never the twain shall meet, there's no overlap. Or do we say no? As far as Gavra is concerned, we're going to split them, but as far as Chefta is concerned, it's one Chefta. And Reb Chaim understands it in the second way. And therefore, Reb Chaim holds that not only is the Chatzi Eved Chayav in period for Rivya, but he can be Mekayim period for Rivya. And how can he do so? With the Cheft of the Ben Chorin. Meaning, Reb Chaim is willing to cross, that's why I call it cross-pollinization here. He's willing to assume that the Chefta of the Ben Chorin is enough to facilitate the Gavra of the Eved to fulfill his mitzvah period of Rivya. That's Reb Chaim's assumption.
What?
And I'm just wondering if that's an ironclad assumption. Because one could ostensibly argue against Reb Chaim that although it's true that the Cheft of the Ben Chorin has Yichus, but that has no relationship whatsoever to the Eved.
Meaning that after he's Meshuchrer, this kid that he has,
there's no relationship there.
He has to have another kid.
It's
like this type of a guy.
It's not related to him, nor now, today, and not even after the Meshachim. He never actually gets a Yichus to that child. The child is not Yichus Akrov insofar as it's a Chatzi Eved. Reb Chaim doesn't understand that. Reb Chaim understands that the child is the Yichus Akrov. Why? Because this Ben Chor, this Eved, has two Cheftas, and both Cheftas are related to him as a Gavra. And since Legabi half the Chefta he can have a Yichus, therefore he has a Gavra's Mekayim's Mitzvah Piri V'Rivya. Otherwise, if you don't accept that, then you're back to square one, and the whole premise of Tosfos makes no sense. There's no Esei Docha Losaseh. The Chiddush of Chaim is that why does Tosfos insist that there's Esei Docha Losaseh? Because the Eved can be Mekayim his Chiyuv Piri V'Rivya. And that's a that's something that, I think if I would Mishkavi Balil, if I would think about it, my brain would start, like arteries would start popping out of my head. Like my father used to say, that sometimes in the middle of the night he would think about the infinite nature of the universe, and then all of a sudden his brain would start, exploding. He couldn't take it anymore.
Why is it this James?
That there was never a beginning to time,
Why isn't this the same as the din of androgynous?
Ooh, that could be interesting, Alan. Now you're talking some Zach. Now I like what you're saying. Let's take the case of androgynous. Androgynous is both a Zohar and a Keva.
Right.
So I don't know which, I don't know which particular halacha you want to analyze, but let's take, for example, Piri Rivya.
Yeah, right.
Right, let's assume that a woman is exempt from Piri Rivya, a man is obligated Piri Rivya. The androgynous on the Gavrishal Zachar Shabo would be Chayev in Piri Rivya. On the Nekeva Shabo, he's part of Piri Rivya. Yeah, but the truth is that it's not going to be an exact comparison to Reb Chaim, but I'm sure we can come up to other cases which would be a parallel to Reb Chaim. In this case of Piri Rivya, Mimonav Shachi has Yichus, or she has Yichus. In other words, even as an androgynous towards the cave of the Zichus.
Yeah, but forgetting about the Yichus.
So Reb Chaim's premise is that once there's Yichus, then the person who's obligated in Piri Rivya can fulfill that obligation, so that the Zachar will be the father of whatever child he can beget, if there's such a word, and therefore he is Mekayim through that child of Mitzvah Piri Rivya. The fact that he's also the Keva would not in any way undermine that Yichus, but I'm sure we can come up with other cases. Okay, Rabbi Osai, that's all the time I can give to this piece in Reb Chaim, because we have two other major pieces in Reb Chaim for today. The second one is in Hilchos Nedarim, and Reb Chaim has only one piece on Hilchos Nedarim, and this piece goes on and on. We're going to just focus on one tip of the iceberg of this Reb Chaim. And what goes on over here? There's a relationship between a woman and her husband in such a way that if she takes a neder, then as you know, he can be, this is Parshas Matos, if I remember correctly, right? He can be mefir ha neder and completely revoke her neder and disqualify the neder. He has the other option, he could be makayim the neder. Okay then? It's on page Lamed Zayin.
You got it.
So now, the Gemara has a suffix in Masechta Nedarim on Daf Samach Tes. What happens if the husband responds in a very strange way and he says, Kayem umufarlach, bivasachs. I'm very ambivalent, this husband. He says, I want to be Mekayim and I want to be Mefrit simultaneously. So the Gemara ends up by applying the principle of Rabbah. You know, Rabbah in Shas has many principles, you know, that are sort of like overarching principles. One of them is Kol She'eno B'Zachar Zeh Afil B'Vasachas Eino, which means that if two chalosim could not be activated simultaneously, then, I'm sorry, if they cannot be activated B'Zachar Zeh, then they cannot be activated simultaneously. So let's take the case of Mekadesh Shtei Achyos. If he married one of the two sisters, then his kedusha with the second sister would be totally invalid. So it's Eino B'Zachar Zeh. So the Gemara establishes that if he's Mekadesh two Achyos B'Vas Achas, let's say he gives something that's worth two prutos to a shliach on behalf of two sisters, then in such a case, the kedushin are not chal. And the Gemara feels the same way about Kayim Loch Umufaloch. You can't be made for a neder after you're Mekayim. You can't be Mekayim a neder after you're made for it. It's E'efsha B'Zachar Zeh. And therefore, Filu B'Vas Achas Eino. Frek Reb Chaim, I don't understand the Rambam. The Rambam Paskins, Omer Loch Kayim Umufaloch B'Vas Achas, Harei Zeh Kayim. The neder is chal. The kosher. Ech pasak haramam de hakama chayla. In other words, the neder is chal because of the kiyum haneder. Hamishum hach time with the kol she'en v'zecha zafil vas achas eino. Tzricha liol shegam hakama v'teilo. That hakama itself should be butter. V'zeo yisod adin dafil vas achas eino. The shneim v'teilim kivur v'kedushin.
No, it's
different. Wait, one second, Alan. I didn't understand the question yet, so you're already answering the question. I'm not going to appreciate your brilliant answer until I understand the question. So let me try to rack my brains and figure the question out. If the Gemara is going to apply, and that's the Pshitus, the ultimate answer of the Gemara to this very strange case of Kayim Loch Umufaloch Vasachas, the principle of Rava, that Afil Vasachas Eino, how then can the Rambam establish that this neder, in this particular scenario, this weird case, is kayam? Kayam means that the kiyum ha-neder is chal. We have a principle of kol she'eno b'zecher zeh is afilu v'asachas eino, meaning that they basically blow each other up. You know, we torpedo and undermine both of them. So just like the kedusha to one sister is bought to the kedusha to the other sister is bought to the whole kedusha is completely null and void. So to here, the hafara is antithetical to the kiyum. The kiyum is antithetical to the hafara, and therefore, if he does the vasachas, we have to remove both of them. If we remove both of them, why is the neder kayam? That's Reb Chaim's question. Go ahead. Now that I have the question,
it seems to me he doesn't. Kayam is not required. All that's required is hafara. If he's not made for his kayam,
I don't think so. I think Reb Chaim has many proofs that the nether will not be kayim until he's makayim the nether. You need a kiyum to make the nether into a nether. It's not that the nether automatically is a nether until such time as he's made for the nether.
It doesn't sound like that from the psukim, does it?
I don't know about the psukim. That I don't know. Alan, you take me off on a tangent.
Then he has a chance to be made for it again.
We just want to finish the shtickel touch.
So what's the state? It's not being made for what's the state?
So now the nether is subject to hakama and subject to hafara. But right now the nether is in limbo.
It's not kayim. Is she obligated about the nether?
Well, it could be that if, you know, the 24-hour period, expires, then she'll be obligated. Oh, right now, we're waiting to see what the Baal's next move would be. But the Rambam writes that right now it's kayim. Immediately. We don't have to wait and see, you know, what happens. Oh, says Reb Chaim. By the way, this piece in Reb Chaim, which Rav Zevin sees this as a typical Reb Chaim piece. Okay, I'm not sure. I think that this is more pre-Reb Chaim. In other words, this I think would be appropriate for the Gdol Yisrael before Reb Chaim, in my humble opinion. But anyway, let's hear what Reb Chaim has to say.
Was there a period before Reb Chaim?
yes. And I've written extensively on that topic to try to prove that Reb Chaim was standing on the shoulders of giants. Reb Chaim didn't come from nowhere. Reb Chaim made what used to be sporadic into a system. That's my belief. But it existed before Reb Chaim. So I'm not willing to accept my Rebbe Reb Salvation says that Reb Chaim revolutionized learning. I don't think that's true exactly. He revolutionized learning by making it very demanding, you know, that don't fool yourself into just understanding the Gemara with all sorts of common sense applications and simplicity. But anyway, I don't want to. So he says the following: Hine, hare, hodol chayli hafara achar hakama. Reb Chaim wants to take the following two scenarios, compare them, and contrast them. Again, but we have to, in order to apply Rabbah's principle, we have to go back to Bazecher Zeh. Correct? What would be Bazecher Zeh? Right? In the case of two Achios, it makes no difference which is first and which is second. They're two sisters, so we're going to combine one Kiddushin on both of them. The Bazecher Zeh scenario, whether you call Leah first and Rachel second or the opposite, is totally irrelevant. But here, says Reb Chaim, he wants to say there are two bezunder, there are two fundamentally different halachas here in the Bazecher Zeh itself. And let's go for the first one. Hare, delo chayla hafara, achar hakama. He says, if there was a hakama, why is there no hafara? Why can't there be a hafara after the hakama? He says, havi mishum dezeu hadin. Again, emphasize that word, the din. The din is that the husband gets one shot, and if he takes the option of using the alternative of 5 to 8. Trying, you know, the challenge of me here is I live most of my life in this room, and the walls of this room are so thin, and the problem with my personality, amongst many other issues, is that I have to concentrate and I can't be distracted. So that's the thing. I was thinking that we should get a fan in this room just to make noise so it blocks out the noise from outside.
Yeah, then you can play the fan was bothering you.
No, I don't think the noise of a fan would bother me. You know what I'm saying? If you're ever on an airplane, you'll notice there's a lot of noise, but it doesn't bother you because it's background noise and it's very monotonous, you know. Okay, so what happens over here? The husband took the option of what? Of
Hakama.
Oh, once he walks down that path, there's a din that says, well, you chose Hakama. Hakama makes it impossible for you to exercise your other alternative possibility of what? Of Hafara. But now let's go the other way, the other direction. Okay? Instead of saying that he started with Hakama, let's go the other way. Pukfaker, he started with what?
Hafara.
Says Reb Chaim, that's a whole different case. Okay, I would add the word din. Right? It's not some sort of din that, you know, after the hafara you can't do a hakama. El mishum kach. The cave on Shehefer, once he was Mefer,
it's
a bottle of neder.
There's nothing there.
Ishuv leka neder. It's just the absence of a neder. You know, Rav Zevi gets very excited about this because he thinks that this is Reb Chaim's revolution. I would argue that that this could have preceded Reb Chaim. But my point is that in the Derech HaLimud, we spoke here many times about one of the maftechos that is so profound and so, shall I say, shchiach, it has such a common application, is din versus mitzvahs. And I'm telling you, Reb Chaim already gave this to us when he spoke about the lav of Lo Yechal Zaro. Do you remember that shtickle Torah that we had Reb Chaim here in the Sefer about Lo Yechal Zaro? Reb Chaim said that there are certain cases where the Maisa B is a posel, and there are other situations where there's just simply no Kedushas Kahuna, right? Because there's no Yichus Mishpacha for Mishpachas Kahuna. It's just that you don't have to talk about some sort of halachic psul, right? Okay. So here too, there's a chisaron. You know, this would be a classical application of shlili and chiyuvi, of negative and positive. Right? You could say the following, that in the case of a hafara first, there's no nether over there. So it's not that there's some sort of positive din that comes along and says, well, the hakama is batal or mavutal. It's just the absence of a nether. You can't be makayah in something that doesn't exist. So that's what I call a heder mitzius. But in the other case, where he started with a hakama, and now you're telling me he no longer has the halachic rights to be made for the neder, that's already a din. The neder is there, why can't he be made for the neder? El what? He had his one-shot chance, and then he blew it. He was Makayim the neder. He didn't blew it, but he was Makayim the neder. That's a strange way of saying it. Uzufi zeh ha-nimtza de-va-hakama bi-atzma. The hakama the atzma so seres lehafara. The hakama is antithetical to the hafara, and that's why once he utilized his rights, his opportunity to be makim, now the din says we remove from you the right to be made for the neder. You were makayim the neder. That hakama stands as a halachic contradiction and undermines your hafara. Aval, says Reb Chaim, in the other way, in the other direction. Hafara, ain't a so serious klal hakama. There's no head-on collision here in which hafara is a force, a halachic force, that is anti-hakama. It's not anti-hakama. It has nothing to say to the hakama. The hafara is chal on the neder. El hafara megiz gaius l'nidra, umemela. You can't be Makayim something when there's no neder to be Makayim. The im achava matzino. This I think is Reb Chaim. Now Reb Chaim is talking. Im achava matzino. If we would find in some theoretical world, if after that far the neder could still be Kayim. Then Elchinami, the Hakama would be Chal, because there was never a halacha that Hafara undermines Hakama. Hafara undermines the Neder, and there's no Neder, there's Memela, there's no Hakama. There was no Din that was Mafkia Hakama. Hakama is meaningful if there would be a Neder, and therefore theoretically, Reb Chaim says, if after the Hafara there would be a Neder, then Elchinami there would be Hakama. Vehine nira poshu telo shayach hach. Now Reb Chaim holds that in the Rambam frame of reference, it's not possible to apply the principle of kol she'eno b'zecher zafil v'sachas eino. Again, Reb Chaim is well aware of the Gemara that he quoted that applies this principle, so he's going to have to limit it, right? So he's going to say the following. Lo shaya chach to chol she'enu bazecher zeh. Afil basachas enu ela hecha shemitzad hadin enu bazecher zeh. When does Rabbi's principle apply? That since it's not bozechers, they can't be bivas achas. That's only when there's a halachic contradiction where these two actions and their chalosim are mutually exclusive. You can't have a chalos ishus to one system at the same time have a chalos ishus to the other. That's a halachic stira where there are two forces that preclude each other, that fight each other in the battlefield. Aval hecha. There's no mitzius of bezecher zeh. Then the klal would not come and tell me, well, you can't have vasachas. Oh, now let's apply to kium and hafor. Very complicated. Says Reb Chaim like that. Lefi zeh, ha, bekiem umufar lechi bevasachas. The hadlo chayli hakoma acher hafara who rak the hadlo chayli slicha zevat pshut eli tamis fat telephone. Ma hishat aval ani fisfasti velo etakit im ye nochem beinecha ve hado ekatu ech Esther omeret leluze ve kosher beni amelach. If Tishma lefachot od kama dakot lefachot ani choshev shetatzliach ki ani yode ad kam shta gaon ador v'ata muchan ata musugal lo kamo ata lo gaon kamo Alan ani lo mashvel kol Alan aval b'chol zot it's a shtickle go. Imayit
kabel machmot kare lo yit magia.
Okay, as mufarlach lefi zeh. Hacha bekiem umufar lichi keachas. Habal amar lishto davar vipucho. Ani mekayem et haneder v'ani mefer et haneder keachas. Hodelo chayli hakoma acher hafora. Madua ein hakoma acher hafora. Hu mitzad chisoron haneder. Haneder lo kayam ki leacher hafora ein mitziyut shal hafora. Im kei nimtze delo shayach v'ze klal. Shall Rabba, shall call Shane of Zechas and Fuva Sachas Eno, Levatulas Hakoma, Kavan the Ains of Medina, Masha Eno Bezechas, Clement Saradin, Eno Hinami, who Yahola Kayem at Ned Lahar, Shue Fair, Tanerel of us is a Kaned. Verak me shum de loyutsur baze, Shetehe Bazechas, loyutsur, she can Hakoma Liakra Fora, Mishum Shiliakra Fora, Ein Kaned, there came. Holo gora mad matzinu zos bevas achas mehecha da havi matzinu zos bezecher ze. Klomar hoya adin gam kein de hakoma chayla. Klomar mitzad adin atzmo hakoma yecholai musugelt lachul li achar hafora. Elamah ein kan neder. Avol im haya neder az ein echidam yal pidinu haya yechol lekayem et haneder. Lamrot shu efer et haneder. Hafora eina soteret et zchuto lekayem et haneder. מה שאין כי בו זה דאפורה אין החל עלי אחר הקומו דזהו מדינו שנתחדש פה דין מסוים שאפורה לא תחול עלי אחר שהוא קיים את הנדר והקומו עושה זאת. כלומר הוא מוציא את השטיח מתחת לרגליו שלא יוכל שוב להפר את הנדר אחר כך. על כן שפר שייך בו זה כל שאינו בזה אחר זה אפילו וסעחס אינו כדי לפסול ולבטל את הפורה. הפורה לא יכול להיות במסחס, כי הפורה לא יכול להיות בזכר זה. ולא הפורה לא יכול להיות בזכר זה, כי התורה קבע דין שהפורה סותרת את הקיום. ומילא במסחס הפורה לא חי לו, והקומה חי לו. אם כן, יוצא שאנחנו יכולים לקיים את דינו של הרמב"ם. מדוע הרמב"ם פסק שבקיים ומופלח במסחס הרי זה קיו? התשובה היא ככה, משום שלגבי בזכר זה אינו חינמי, יש קיום לאחר הפורו אילו ביצוי היה כאן נדר. אז אם כן יש כוח בקיום לעמוד ולהתגונן נגד הפרה. הוא יכול לעמוד על השטח שלו ולא צריך לוותר עליו. אם כן, אין כאן דין של בבסחס אינו. אין שום סיבה לפסול ולבטל את הקיום של הנדר. מה שאין כן לגבי הפרה, כאן הגמרא התכוונה לומר כל שאינו בזכר זה אינו הפרה, משום שיש כאן סתירה בין הקיום לבין הפרה. אז כל שיש סתירה בין הקיום להפרה על פי דין, אז ממילא ההפרה הזאת לא יכולה לחול. מה שאין כן כשאתה דן לגבי הקיום של הנדר, הקיום כן יכול לחול, כי אין כוחה של הפרה לבטל את הקיום. רב חיים מעריך מאוד, אני רק נגעתי באפס קצהו של חידושו. עכשיו רבוסי, יש לי פגישה, אבל אולי הם הגיעו באיחור. יפה, אז נוכל לקיים עוד שתקולטות. רב זבן בעמוד 57 מכניס אותנו לתור הזרות, דהיינו לשמיטה ויובל. וברוך השם, היום חזרנו ללמוד את הדינים הללו של שמיטה ויובל. אם זה מדרבנן, אוקיי, אבל בכל זאת יש שמיטה. הרמב״ם, כן, פה זה מופיע ברב חיים עמוד מ"ט, אני חושב. יש לכם מ"ט? את הלכות שמיטה ויובל, פרק י' הלכה ה'. אין לכם? אוקיי, אז אני... לא, זה יעזור לי מאוד. יעזור לי מאוד, משום שאני רוצה שתוך כדי דיבור, אני אסמוך כאן על רב זבן, ואתה תראה את רב חיים בפנים, וכשיש איזה שינוי מהותי, אז תודיע. הרמב״ם מביא שיטת הגאונים והוא סומך עליהם. מהי שיטת הגאונים? יש מחלוקת בגמרא, במשנה, בין חכמים לרבי יהודה לגבי שנת היובל. הרי יש שבע מחזורים של שבע שנים, של שבע שמיטות, 49 שנים, ושנה חמישית מוקדשת בתור שנת היובל. אז עכשיו נשאלת השאלה, האם שנת היובל עצמה היא חלק ממספרי שנות השמיטה, או שהיא שנה שעומדת בפני עצמה והיא לא שייכת לא לשמיטה שקודמה ולא לשמיטה שמתחילה לאחר היובל. אז על זה יש מחלוקת במשנה בין חכמים לרבי יהודה. החכמים סוברים ששנת היובל אינה נמנית במניין השמיטה, כלומר שיש, בוא נגיד, השמיטה שביעית ויש שמיטה שמינית, או נחזור לראשונה, וביני וביני יש שנת השמיטה. ורבי יהודה חולק וסובר ששנת היובל עולה לכאן ולכאן.
זה שנה שמינית, שנה של השמיטה לבד.
כן, זה אומר, לא, אז רק שנייה אחת, אני חושב שטעיתי. אז רק רגע אחד, אני טעיתי, סליחה, דניאל, אתה צודק. לדעת חכמים, אז אני רואה את היובל כתחילת השמיטה הבאה, ולדעת רבי יהודה היובל עולה לכאן ולכאן, ואין מונים יובלוס כאן אלא שבע ועוד שבע. כלומר, לדעת רבי יהודה השנה החמישית אינה שייכת לא לכאן ולא לכאן, היא כמו אי בפני עצמה. ממילא אני מסיים את שנת השמיטה השביעית ואני מחכה עוד שנה, ואז אני מתחיל את הספירה של לאחר שנה של יובל, אני מתחיל את השמינה אחרת. מה שאין כן לדעת חכמים, לדעת חכמים היובל אינה נמנית. רק שנייה אחת. יש לך, אני מסעתי לך את רב חיים, יש לך את הקטע? אני הסתבכתי פה, סליחה. אז תנו לי כמה דקות ואני ממש מתנצל, אבל עוד מעט אני אוכל להסביר. אז כתוב ככה, הלוכה כחכום, מה פירוש הלוכה כחכום? אם ששנס היובל אין הנמנס במניין השמיטה, אין הנמנס במניין השמיטה. אז אומר הרמב"ם, אף על פי שהלכה כחכמים ששנת היובל אינה נמנית במניין השמיטה, וכנראה שזה הפשט שלפי חכמים שנת השמיטה היא מספר שמדלגים עליה,
שנת היובל,
סליחה. אבל אומר הרמב״ם בשם הגאונים שכל זה הוא בזמן שבית המקדש היה קיים, אבל לאחר חורבן הבית נוהגים כרבי יהודה ששנת היובל עולה לכאן ולכאן. אם אני לא טועה, סליחה שאני בעניינים האלו קצת חלוד, אז השנה הזאת היא שנה השביעית של השמיטה הקודמת והשנה הראשונה של השמיטה של אחריה. ולמרות שאנחנו פוסקים כחכמים ששנת היובל אינה עולה לא מכאן ולא מכאן, אבל זה באמת דברים אומרים כשבית המקדש קיים, אבל יחר חורבן הבית הרמב"ם פוסק רב יהודה שנת היובל עולה לכאן ולכאן, ואין מונים יובלוס כלל, כלומר לגבי המניין והספירה של השמיטה, אלא שבע שבע בלבד, ואין כאן מניין של שמיטה, כאשר לעומת זמן המקדוש שפוסקים כחכמים, ואז שנת השמיטה, שנת היובל היא כאילו לא קיימת במספר השון. השואל רב חיים על הרמב"ם, מה נשתנו? מדוע לאחר החורבן הגאונים הם סבורים, והרמב"ם קיבל את דבריהם, שפוסקים פתאום כמו רב יהודה, שלא סופרים כלל את שנת היובל. אז הספירה, מבחינת הספירה, אז מכניסים וכוללים את היובל בשנות השמיטה. אז רב חיים מוכיח בראיות שאין היובל נוהג, אלא אם כן הוקבע על ידי ספירה וקידוש. דהיינו, הפסוק אומר, איפה זה בהר? וספרת לך, וקידשתם את שנת החמישים. אז יש כאן ספירה, שבע פעמים שבע, ואחר כך מקדשים את שנת החמישים בתור קדושת יובל, אז יש כאן ספירה וקידוש. אז אין יובל בלי ספירה וקידוש. אם לא ספרו, או לא קידשו, אינו יובל. ושתי מצוות אלו, הספירה והקידוש, מסורים לביתן הגדול בלבד. כך לשון הרמב"ם. לפיכך, בזמן בית שני, אף על פי שלא נהגו דין יובל, מפני שלא היו כל יושביה עליה, כן, בעלייה שנייה הגיעו מעט מאוד יהודים להתיישב פה בארץ ישראל, אז כן, אין כאן כל יושבי עליה, ולכן אין דין של יובל נוהג. אבל מכל מקום יש ביתן. יש ביתן הגדול, אבל אין כאן כל יושבי עליה. אז איך נוהגים? אומר הרמב"ם, מונים יובלות לקדש את השמיטין. ומכיוון שביתן ספרו וקידשו, chal al etzem hashana kedushat yovel, aval mitzad she'en kol yoshvel le lo nahagu dine yovlot. Klamar hayom hashana kishal atzma hitkadsha al yidei sphere of a kiddush, aval lemaisa befoal hadinim shal yovel lo nahagid velama. Mishum she'en kan kol yoshver aleha. As it calls as mama tzavpo. Bizman she beit hamikdash hadishon haya kayam. As he had shalosh dvarim: sfira, kiddush, v'dine yovel shenog imachmat hakiddush hazeh. Bizman beit hamikdash hasheni, as yesh kan sfira v'kiddush, v'imkein shnat yovel hitkadsha. Aval ein adinim noagim mikshum she'ein ein rov yoshver ein kol yoshver aleha. L'mashal chazarat ha'karkaot ze lo haya noheg. Achshav li'achar churba bayit sheni kan kvar chaserim sfira v'kiddush. Omer Rav Chaim, im ein sfira v'ein kiddush, ein al etzem hashana shem yovel klal. וכאן רב זמן רוצה להגיד בלשון רב חיים חוסר כל החפטה של היובל. כלומר זה לא רק דין של מניעה בפועל מחמת שלא כל יושב עליה, אלא אין קידוש, אין ספיר ואין קידוש, משום שאין כאן בזן הגודל, אין כאן בייס. אוקיי, פה צריך מבחינה היסטורית לדעת אם זה חופף. ייתכן שיש בזן הגודל אפילו בלי בייס, אני לא יודע. אבל בוא נניח שבחורבן הבייס, אז גולו סנהדרין מלישקה סגוזיס והמוקם גורן. בוא נניח, אני רק מכניס את זה פה. לכן, עולה השונה למניין השמיטוס. כלומר, יש הבדל גדול בין בית שני לבין לאחר חורבן בית שני. כל זמן שבית שני קיים, אז יש כאן קדושת היובל. יש כאן קדושת היובל בעצם השנה מצד הספירה והקידוש. ומה שלמעשה נמנעים מלהפעיל את כל הדינים למעשה בנוגע ליובל זה מצד תנאי של כל יושבי עליה, אבל עצם השנה היא מתקדשת בקדושת יובל, ולכן אני יכול להפעיל כל זמן שבטן קיים את הדין של חכונים שהיובל הוא אינו נמנס. היובל קיים, יש קדושת יובל, ולכן השנה הזאת היא אי בפני עצמה. אבל יחר חורבן בית שני, כבר לא נתקדשה היובל כלל, משום שאין כאן ביתן ואין כאן ספירה וקידוש, ממילא פוקע שם יובל, ואם פוקע שם יובל, אז אנחנו נפעיל את הדין של רב יהודה כנגד חכמים, ששנס היובל עולה לכאן ולכאן. דיינו, היובל גם כן נכללת במניין ישנוס השמיטה. אומר רב זבן שזה הקוף האלף. אם היינו מפסיקים פה, אז היינו מגיעים למסקנה שרב חיים כאן מחלק בין הקידוש לבין הוצא לפועל של הדינים. והם שני דינים שונים. יש דין אחד בקידוש השונה, וזה תלוי ב... ההתהוות או מציאות של ביתן הגודל שסופרים וקדשים, ויש עוד דין של קיום דיני יובל בפועל. וזה לא היינו הך, כי לגבי הדינים של קיום יובל בפועל אנחנו זקוקים לקיים עוד תנאי של כל יושבי העליה, ואנחנו מינה היא שנמשיך לפסוק כחכמים ששנס השמיטה אינו נמנס בשנס היובל, אינו נמנס בשנוס השמיטה, משום שיש כאן קידוש של השונה. עכשיו אנחנו מגיעים להקופה בית. מהי הקופה בית? אומר רב זבן, כדי לסכם את המשך החידוש, כי זה דפים על דפים פה ברב חיים, הוא אומר שכאן אנחנו באים לתוצאה שלילית הנגרמת על ידי חיסורן כל יושבי עליה. עכשיו אמרנו שכל יושבי אלה הוא לא כל כך חיסרון אלא לגבי הדינים בפועל, אבל הוא אומר יש כאן גם צד שלילי, תוצאה שלילית בזה שאין כל יושבי אלה שאינה נגרמת על ידי חיסרון ספירה וקידוש. כיצד? איך ייתכן דבר כזה? אז יש שיטת רבי, רבי יהודה הנשיא, שסובר ששמיטה תלויה ביובל, ובזמן שאין היובל נוהג, אין השמיטה נוהגת. השמיטה תלויה ביובל. מוכיח רב חיים מהתורס כהנים, שאין הדבר אמורים אלא כשאין היובל נוהג, משום שאין כל יושביה עליה. זאת אומרת, אם יש כאן הפקה דינית של חיסורת טראי של כל יושבי עליה, אז אני אומר שאין כאן שמיטה. ורבי יהודה הנשיא אומר, שמיטה תלויה ביובל. אבל כשאינו נוהג, אם אין ניהוג של שמיטה מצד חיסורת סביר וקידוש, אז השמיטה נוהגת. ולמה? כשאין כל יושבי עליה, הרי זה פטור מצד דין יובל. יש כאן פוטר. אז אם יש כאן חלוס פטור לגבי דיני שמיטה בפועל, על זה בא הדין שכשפוטרים מיובל אז פוטרים גם משביעס. הפטור שפוטר, הכוח החיובי הזה שפוטר מיובל, גם פוטר משביעס. אבל כשהחיסרון הוא בספירה וקידוש, אין כאן פוטר כלל. זה לא כוח חיובי אלא הדר במציאס. למה? כי אם לא ספרו ולא קידשו את היובל, אז אין כאן יובל בכלל. אז עזרת התורה קיימת, וספרת וקידש, ואם לא ספרו ולא קידשו, ממילא אין כאן מציאו של יובל, אבל אין כאן פוטר, אז ממילא אפילו רבי יודע, שאם אין בזנה גודל לספור ולקדש, אז מה הדין? אין כאן פוטר מיובל, אלא אין כאן מציאו של יובל, ולכן שביעס נוהגס. אז מתי אני אומר שכיוון שיובל לא נוהג, השמיטה לא יובל לא נוהג לפי רבי, זה רק אם יש כאן פוטר. מהו הפוטר? אין יושבי עליה. הפוטר הזה של אין יושבי עליה חל לגבי יובל, ואומר רבי שמיטה תלויה ביובל, אז אותו פוטר חל גם לגבי שמיטה. מה שאין כן, אומר רב חיים, לגבי חיסון, ספירה וקידוש, כשאין ביתן לספור ולקדש את שנת היובל, אז כאן אני לא אומר שיש כאן חלוס פוטר, אלא פשוט אין מציאוס של יובל. וכמו שראינו ליאל שהרמה פוסק שבזמן הזה, כיוון שאין לנו ספירה וקידוש ואין לנו ביתן, אז במילא אנחנו פוסקים, חזרנו לפסוק כמו רב יהודה, ששנס היובל נכללת בשנות השמיטה, משום כי אין כאן יובל כלל. אומר רב חיים, הוא הדין והוא הטעם, אם אין כאן ספירה וקידוש ואין כאן יובל כלל, אז אם כן השמיטה נוהגת. ולמה השמיטה נוהגת? הרי רבי יהודה הנשיא פוסק שכל שאין יובל אין שמיטה. הכוונה היא כל שאין יובל כשיש קידוש של שנת ה-50 בתור קדושת יובל, רק שיש חלוס פוטר של כל יושבי עליה חסר פה בתנאי הזה. הפוטר הזה חל, אני מעביר אותו מיובל כדי להכיל אותו לגבי שמיטה. אבל אם אין כאן יובל כלל, אז אין כאן שום טעם להפקיע את השמיטה, משום שאין כאן יובל.
אוקיי? מה נעשה? אם הרבי ימי הבאי שלישי, אז באיזה שנה יהיה יובל שהפסדנו הרבה יובלים?
אז זה לא משנה, כי נתחיל את הספירה מאיפה שהפסקנו. כלומר, אם על פי דין אין כאן ספירה, אז אין חינם נגיע לאותה ספירה לפי כל השנים, ומאז ואילך נתחיל לספור. אני רק רוצה לראות,
you have to count it as if we had yoga all the way always before, because otherwise yoga come out on the wrong day, the wrong year. So you have to take all the ones where they